favour. I'm really blessed to be able to introduce our guest speaker today. Murray and Jane Averill have been father and mother in the faith in Brisbane here for many years. And Carol and I really look up to them as pastors. And they were pastoring at Nexus Church for many years. And they also have a lot to do with RI in Queensland, Religious Instruction in Queensland, a very important ministry. And Murray and I had a few conversations about the importance of Scripture in schools. And Murray is now working with Alpha all around Australia. And, you know, I just love the Alpha course. Just before the service, Rachel was sharing with us that she came to Christ in Cambodia and everyone said, you need to go to New Hope Church in Brisbane because they're running the Alpha course. She had three people tell her, go to New Hope because they're running the Alpha course. So she joined our church over 15 years ago and got discipled through Alpha. And here she is now, you know, worship pastors with her and her husband. You know, there is so much good fruit that comes out of Alpha. And I'm really excited to hear Pastor Murray share today. So why don't we please stand to our feet, give a massive New Hope welcome for Pastor Murray Averill. Woo! Hey.
Good. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Take your seats. It's so good to be here this morning. How are you doing? All right. Who thinks Pastor Matt and Pastor Carol are the best people on the planet? Come on. What an amazing, amazing couple you are. Faithful to the Lord and faithful to His Word, and you're doing a fantastic job, guys. So good, so good. Yeah, and see some friends, some old ones, some recent ones, and it's good to be in the house of God. Wasn't that good having all those men up there this morning? Whoa, wow, wow. That's a healthy church right there. Testosterone in the house. Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, I got a photo of my family, just so you know, just to give, so you can see what my life's about. Look, there they are. I got two daughters, and both daughters work for Alpha. So we're an Alpha family, not just an Alpha male, Alpha family. That's their two husbands on each side of that photo. And in the back is my wife, Jane, who is the most amazing, fabulous wife in Australia. She's gifted, she's talented, she's gorgeous, she's fantastic. Was there anything else you asked me to say? And no, it's all true. It's all absolutely, fantastically true. I'm going to turn to the Word this morning, and it's Matthew 28, and it's a passage that's pretty well known. It's often called the Great Commission, and it says this: then Jesus came and said, all authority. This is Jesus. This is his last words to his disciples before he's about to ascend to heaven. Last words matter, huh? They're important. So, and these are his last words. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yeah, let's just pray and say, Father, we thank you for your word. It's a powerful word. We ask, Holy Spirit, you'll minister your word into our hearts and lives this morning for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On the 2nd of July, 1982, how many people were on the planet? A few. Yeah, just a few of us. 1982, it seems so long ago, hasn't it? 2nd of July, Los Angeles. My oldest daughter and my son-in-law, they live in Los Angeles these days. And in Los Angeles, around the airport area, something really weird happened. The pilots were reporting that they were seeing what looked like up at their area, up on their level where they were flying in, what looked like a man sitting in a chair attached to a whole lot of balloons. And it was true. It was actually true. What happened was there was a truck driver by the name of Larry. Larry was a bit bored with life, and he had this idea. He wanted to be able to just look around his neighborhood. Now, there was no drones in those days, so he got this brilliant idea. So he and his girlfriend, they went down to a shop and they bought 45 weather balloons. They're not the little balloons, party balloons, weather balloons, and filled them with helium and tied them all with ropes to the back of a chair when the chair was tied to his truck. And then he got in the chair and tied himself in. He had with him a six-pack of beer, a CB radio, a BB gun to shoot the balloon so he could come down again, and peanut butter sandwiches. Yeah. So his plan was he'd get released, he'd fly out, look around the neighborhood, shoot the balloons, come back down again. So his girlfriend released the rope from the truck. 45 helium-filled weather balloons. He shot up in the air. He managed to shoot out a few balloons before he dropped the gun. So he did the only next sensible thing. He opened the six-pack of beer. Up he went. At about 2,000 feet, he blanked out. He ended up at 16,000 feet where the planes are flying around. And eventually, he descended again. Eventually, the air went out of the balloons. He came back down. By the time he gets back down, everybody knows what's going on. It's on the radio. And so the media have all gathered, and they're there around him. And, of course, the big question was, why did you do it? And all he said was, well, you just can't sit around. You just can't sit around. Oh, no, you just can't sit around. It would appear that poor Larry needed some purpose in life. From then on, he got known as Lawn Chair Larry. That was his identity in life. I'm not sure Larry wanted that identity. But, you know, there are two big issues, two big questions, I think, that everybody has of life. Who am I? The issue of identity. And why am I here? The issue of purpose. Deep in the human heart, these two questions resonate. And in this passage, Jesus answers both questions. In fact, in these simple words, go make disciples. First of all, he's saying, you are disciples. You know, back then, a disciple was quite a common idea. There were people who rose through the ranks of the religious training system. And if you got high enough in that system, you became what was called a rabbi. Now, a rabbi, sometimes it gets translated teacher, but it's sort of a teacher. Probably a little bit more like a master builder who takes on an apprentice. So a rabbi then would invite people to become his disciples. And what they do, they not just learn from him intellectually, but they'd actually follow the guy around. They'd even often live with him. Their goal was to learn how their rabbi thought, how their rabbi taught, how their rabbi talked, how their rabbi behaved, how he responded. They'd follow into the marketplace to see how he was in that environment. They'd be in his home to see how he was in that environment. Their goal was to learn everything they could about their rabbi so that they could become like their rabbi. One of the blessings of a disciple was to say, may the dust of your rabbi cover you. Why? How would that happen? Because as the rabbi is walking along with his sandals, if you follow close enough, he'd kick up dust and you'd get over you. And that was considered amazing, a wonderful thing, because you were close to your rabbi. So Jesus called his followers disciples. And he calls us, who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, disciples. And this is our identity. Our primary identity. We all have uniquenesses about us. We all have our own unique identity. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you are called a disciple. You are one who's called to imitate Jesus. You're one who's called to walk so closely, to learn of him. This is why we love the Word. I love what you're saying earlier on, Pastor Matt. Just people who are in the Word. We should be reading the Gospels over and over and over again, because we want to find out, how did Jesus live? How did he talk? How did he walk? What did he do? And that we're going to become like him. Disciples. And then he said, not only are you disciples, but I'm calling you to then make disciples. This is to reproduce who we are. Disciples making disciples. I made a one significant mistake. I've made a few in my life, I confess. Anybody with me? Okay, good. I'm with friends. One of them was when my youngest daughter, Alice, Jane was in the birthing suite about to give birth. And apparently, I did a terrible, terrible thing. Apparently, as she's in labor pains, moments away from giving birth, I yawned. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Any guys here, marriage tip, don't do that. Do not yawn while your wife's giving birth. She's never let me forget it. She's usually a forgiving woman, but on that one, it's been hard. And that was a problem. You know, something about giving birth or bringing children to the world, it appears in some ways like an event, but it's not, is it? It's a 9-month process. You know, people coming to know Jesus, there's that moment when they say, yes, I'm in. I want to be a follower of Jesus. But usually that's followed quite a process. And there's a diagram coming up on the screen. This just sort of illustrates. Everybody's journey is different. So in some ways, a diagram is a little bit imperfect. But look at this. There's a time when a person is far from God, doesn't really know things about God, doesn't know who Jesus is, but then slowly maybe comes to understand that Jesus came to earth to reveal the Father and to come and to die on the cross. We've been hearing about that, to forgive us of our sins. And they grow in their understanding. And then one day, actually, I want to become a follower of Jesus. It's a process. It's a journey. Making disciples is helping people a step along the journey, somewhere on that journey. Because even if you've grown up in church, you don't come out of the womb knowing who Jesus is. You actually have to also go through that process. Or maybe like my wife. My wife was 27, really had no understanding of who Jesus was or anything like that, and walked into a little church one day and started to learn about Jesus and said, I'm in. I want to be in. And there's this process and then a decision to become a disciple. And making disciples is this great joy and privilege we get to help others along the journey. And sometimes your task is just to help them one step on that journey. They may be a long way from they may even actually be quite anti the idea of being a Christian. And you get to show them love and kindness. This phrase, go make disciples, there's a command in that phrase, in the original language in which was written, the Greek language. And you'd be forgiven if you think the command is the word go, because it sounds like a command, doesn't it? Go. The command actually is the word that gets translated make disciples. It's one word in the Greek. The word go, if you understand the tenses of the Greek there, it would actually be better translated, and sometimes is, as you go, make disciples. Here's the great privilege you and I have. As we go about life. Now, some people go some distance to make disciples, missionaries, and I know Pastor Vince, who I knew back when I was at university, wherever he is, a great man of God, and wow, fantastic. And I met Pastor Chris this morning, who's been in China. Amazing. Some people go somewhere, but most of us aren't going to go overseas. We're doing our life. And here's the great privilege we have. As you go about whatever it is that you do in life, you have the opportunity to help somebody on their journey of faith. For some people, you know, it's a word of kindness. There was an American philosopher who said something which has become famous. He said, most people live lives of quiet desperation. And it's often true. People around about us, I mean, they may put on a smile, but often they are living lives of quiet desperation. And a word of hope, a word of encouragement can just be something that just will lift their spirits and help them on their journey. An act of kindness, and I know this church is brilliant at it. Wow, good on you, everybody who's a part of what you do in the community. Acts of kindness, helping people along the journey. Jesus talked in Matthew 25. He said to his disciples something that must have caught them absolutely by surprise. He said to them, "You were hungry and I was hungry and you fed me, and I was naked and you clothed me, and I was in prison and you visited me." And they, come on, Jesus, when did that happen? We don't remember that. We don't remember a time when you were hungry and we fed you, or naked and we clothed you, or in prison and we visited you. He said, no, when you did it to others in need, it's like you did it to me. I have a couple of friends, Liza and Claudine, we call her Claude, and they're young mums, and they were running Alpha. If you don't know what Alpha is, Alpha is an opportunity to invite people who don't yet know Jesus to come and explore life and faith and meaning. And it happens over a number of weeks. Usually it involves coming, having a meal, and then watching a video that will, each week it answers a different question, and then having a chat about what we've just seen. And it's this lovely place, a welcoming place, an open place. People can come and they can ask anything. They can say what they like, and we just love them and welcome them. And then over the weeks, the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, and often by the end, they want to give their lives to Jesus. The first week, the topic is there more to life than this? There's the question about purpose. The next week is, who is Jesus? Next week is, why did he die? How can I have faith? And so on. And we've seen around the world now about 28 million people have done Alpha. And in Australia, we're just about at 750,000 people. And we're believing by the year 2025, with New Hope's help, we're going to reach a million. Oh, come on. Come on. It's amazing. And it's, you know, what makes Alpha work is wonderful people like you who will offer that and invite people. It's prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit. Who loves the Holy Spirit? I know you do. In fact, let me just tell you this. Alpha was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The leader of Alpha is a man called Nicky Gumbel and his wife Pepper. And they didn't actually start this program. Others did, but then it was given to Nicky, and Nicky saw this great potential to be something used around the planet. But it started this. He was a lawyer in London, and at his church called Holy Trinity Brompton, they had a midweek meeting, a Wednesday night, and they had a guest coming by the name of John Wimber. Some of you may have heard of him, a man out of Los Angeles who really operated in the power of God. And so John Wimber was ministering, and he had a word of knowledge that there were 10 people with athlete's foot. And 9 people put their hands up. And where's the 10th? And Nicky Gumbel, he'd been working all day as a barrister, and the only 2 seats left when they arrived, he got there a little bit late, was in the front row. He's in the front row with his wife Pippa, and Pippa digs him in the ribs because he had athlete's foot, but he was too embarrassed to confess it. So finally he puts his hand up, and so they come over and they pray for him, and the power of God hit him so incredibly. He was on the floor like he was doing things that polite London barristers don't do. She was shaking under the power of God and making noises. And so John Wimber said, take him out. He was causing such a disturbance. This very, this polished English barrister. But as he went, as they were carrying him out the door, John Wimber pointed to him and said, God is giving you the gift of evangelism. And that's how it began. And now we see God using this tool of evangelism all over the planet in a powerful way. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Yeah, thank God. And we get, so my friends, Liza and Claude, they're running Alpha in their church, and they felt like, we want to go, we want to do it somewhere else. We want to get outside. It was great there, but we want to get outside of these walls. And this passage really resonated with them. So they saw not far from them, they lived in Brisbane, out in the west, and they saw not far from them was the youth detention centre. So they went and they said, and this is 4 years ago, they said, could we run Alpha at the youth detention centre? And they, and believe it or not, they said, yes, we'll let you come and run. There's a youth version. And so they started to run Alpha in the youth detention centre. COVID hit. They had to, instead of going in, they had to write letters, but they kept going. And you know, today there are 45 volunteers going in every week into the youth detention centre. They're running Alpha, they're having church services, they're playing sport, they're doing all sorts of things. And so far this year, in fact, the detention centre love these Liza and Claude so much, they've given them the keys to the detention centre. Who gets keys to a jail? Like, wow, because they said, the impact you are having so far this year, 20 young people have given their lives to Jesus. And there's great things going on. Powerful. Because a couple of young mums said, how can we just help make disciples? What can we do to move some people, some young people, along on the journey of faith? Yeah. Praying. Praying for people. Actually, I was with Liza and Claude and some others, and we were in a coffee shop, and this was in Perth, and a few weeks ago. And we're there early in the morning, and we're about to go off to some meetings, and some paramedics were sitting at the table next to us. We saw their ambulances outside, and there's about eight of them sitting there. And so we finished our coffees, and Claude said, we should pray for them. We go, okay. So Claude goes over and said, would you mind if we pray? We're Christians. We think you do a fantastic job. Would you mind if we pray for you? You know that most Australians, even unreligious ones, most Australians, if you say, would you like me to pray for you, will say yes. It's one question they will mostly say yes to. They just don't expect you to do it then. They think you're going to go and light a candle at the cathedral. So she says, the guy there is Adam, because he's got Adam on his shirt. And she says, Adam, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? And Adam goes, fine. We've gathered around. And she prays, and she just thanks God for these wonderful people and the great work they're doing, and asks Jesus to be with them. And if they find trauma today, that Jesus will help them through that. And it was just a simple prayer, and it was natural. You can do that. As you go, you may find somebody, and they're just telling you about some point of need in their life. And you could say, do you mind if I pray? It takes a bit of courage. Do you mind if I pray? Last week, we have a neighbor. We live in an apartment, and there's a neighbor. They're through the wall, but they're in a different stairwell. I've seen her and her husband in the car park, but she came and knocked on our door early in the morning. I think it was about 7 o'clock. Fortunately, I was dressed. And she's panicking, and she said, I've been out for a walk, and my key, it won't work in the lock anymore. Okay, so I get my my trusty hammer, which fixes all things, doesn't it? A hammer and a chisel. And I go over and we go down, we go up her stairs, and she said, she's panicking. She said, I've just started a new job. It's 3 months probation. I'm on the end of the probation. This is my probation day when they interview me, and I don't want to be late. And she's really panicking. So I get the hammer and I hammer the key into the lock, which worked, thankfully. We opened it up. And I just said, can I pray for you? I just pray, Lord, would you be with Tara today in this interview, and let it all go well. And you know, just a simple prayer. Normal, not, oh, Lord, don't freak them out. Just be normal. I reckon Jesus was normal. Well, he was the Son of God, but he was normal. And just helping people along the journey of faith, making disciples. You may go, I don't know that I'm qualified. Maybe, you know, we all know ourselves and we know our flaws, don't we? I think, maybe I'm too flawed. I love how Jesus kept using flawed people. Do you know the first person recorded who made a disciple outside of Jesus' own disciples? Incredibly flawed. Woman at the well. Here Jesus finds this woman, and boy, her life is a mess. If anybody's disqualified to make disciples, surely it's going to be this woman. And yet Jesus chooses her, reaches out to her, expresses the kindness and love of God to her. And what does she do? She goes to the town and she says, come, hear a man who's told me everything I've ever done. The first, make a disciple. Come. And history records that that town was so affected, and then later on, a place where the Church of Jesus Christ flourished. Yeah. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. Just simply to say, come. Wow. Most of us are probably here because one day somebody said, would you come? Isn't that true? Think back to it. Would you come? Would you come? Let me teach you how to say, like, would you come to church? Would you come to Alpha? Would you come? You're going to have some Christmas things going on? Would you come to Christmas? If it was Alpha, let me teach you how to do this. You ready? This is what you do. You say, would you come with me to Alpha? And then you shut up. There we go. And they're likely to go, what's Alpha? And you say, well, it's an opportunity to explore life and faith and meaning. We're going to have a meal and video and come the first week and see if you like it. Would you come to Christmas with me? Always with me. And then you wait. Yeah, you don't go on. Well, if you don't want to come, that would be fine. And we'll still be friends if you don't want to come. And like, it'd be okay. But it would really be nice if you came. Just keep it simple. Would you come? Wow. Do the lights go off at a certain time if I preach too long? Okay. I'm nearly over. Because let me tell you, there's a wonderful Canadian theologian, and he says, making disciples is joining a conversation the Holy Spirit is already having with another person. You see, the Holy Spirit is at work in people. God wants people to come to know His love more than even we do. God is at work. And so our great privilege is simply to come alongside and say, Lord, how can I join the conversation you are having? And that might be the word of encouragement. That may be the act of kindness. That may be the word of invitation. Would you come? When I was leading Nexus Church, we had a care program. And there was a couple, and they were refugees from the Middle East, and they were of a different religious group. And they were refugees, came through Christmas Island, brought to Brisbane, put into a townhouse, and they can't work when you're a refugee for quite a long time, many years really. And so they wanted to do something. They're very capable people. Their English wasn't great, but they want to help. And they found our care program. So they turned up, and we'd like to volunteer. And one of our care workers there, Nicholas, it was just coming up to Christmas. So Nicholas said, would you come to Christmas? They'd never heard about Jesus. They'd never heard the story. So they came, and it was the first time they'd heard the story of Jesus. And so after Christmas, we said, during those Christmas services, we're having Alpha. And so Nicholas said, would you come to Alpha? And they said, yes. So they did Alpha. And they did it twice because that would help them with the language to do it twice. By the time they finished, they've said, we want to be followers of Jesus. And that was now about 6 years ago. And I get texts every now and then. Scriptures from Yazdan encouraging me in faith. Why? Because Nicholas said, would you come? Would you come? I love the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is our senior partner. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to be disciples and to make disciples. I'm going to finish with this passage. And I was just reading it this morning, and it seemed to put some things together. It's out of Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. It says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, but which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." You know, as the writers of the scriptures, and here's the Apostle Paul, as they write, nothing is an accident. And here's some different thoughts put together. Well, you know that when that happens, it's not just accidental, it's not random. It's the Spirit at work. And look at these thoughts that have come together. In these few passages, it says, make the most of every opportunity. Opportunities to make disciples. Opportunities to just lead somebody another step closer to a relationship with Jesus. Those opportunities are around us, making the most. Being careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And as disciples, you know, I know that we all, we're flawed. I know I am. My wife desperately knows how that I am. In fact, this morning I made a mistake and I said to her, "I'm so flawed." And she went, "Gee, that's a shock." In this very sarcastic tone. How rude is that? But I am, well, talk about flawed. On the other side of our apartment is a guy there. We've lived there for 3.5 years. And, you know, one of the great things you can do in life is get to know somebody's name. People's names really matter. And so I'm trying to, you know, so this guy, but we've only seen him like 3-4 times in all those years because he's off at 5 o'clock in the morning and he's back at whatever, and I didn't ever really see him. And a couple of weeks ago, he turns up at the front door at the same time as me. So I put on my good, I'm a good Christian smile. You know the one? You know, I'm the friendly Christian next door. I said, "Hey, how are you, Bruce?" And he says, "My name's not Bruce, it's Peter." I can't even get people's names right. That's flawed. You know, being very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Holy Spirit, give me your wisdom to live well in this world. We are flawed, but you know what I think this world needs? And I think the Spirit I'm hearing is I have the privilege of being with pastors, leaders, all denominations, different nations even. And I think there's something I'm hearing now consistently, the voice of the Spirit calling his people to authentic discipleship, to be followers of Jesus, real, in every way possible, to say, "Lord, help me to live in the world authentically. And with wisdom, God, teach me that. And then fill me with your Spirit." Understanding what the Lord's will is, and fill me with your Spirit. Yeah. We're going to have a chance to have some prayer. And let me just encourage you with a word of testimony. Because last week I was in London, and I was in a gathering and with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel and just probably about 30 young leaders from around all the nations. And as we were gathered there, one of these young leaders, great young woman from Wales, she got up and she said, "I have words of knowledge." And they were over people who needed healing. And I know we're going to have a chance for some prayer soon. And one of them was actually somebody, she said, they got pain on the top of their left foot. Well, that turned out to be Pippa Gumbel. And so she prayed and the pain left. And then she said, "There's somebody here and they've got a mouth full of ulcers and the Lord wants to heal." And my daughter was with me, my oldest daughter. And she said, she had ulcers all down both sides of her mouth on the inside. And so she put her hand up and said, "That's me." And so they gathered around and prayed and the ulcers disappeared instantly, like gone in an instant. Jesus is a healer. Isn't that good? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be praying, and I know God wants to do some miracles in people's lives. But before that, and as we finish, I just felt this morning as I read this passage to do something really unusual. Would you go with me? Would you take your phone? Take your phone. I'm taking mine. I reckon you've got a phone. presume most of you have one. Take your phone. Take the part on your phone where you can take a note. All right? Now, if you came and got a place where you can take a note, then send yourself a message. To put your own phone number in, the two, and get ready to send yourself a message. And three questions we're going to ask. And the first, put an answer to this first question. And as we do, we're doing it before the Spirit, according to Ephesians 15, and saying, Holy Spirit, would you just give me wisdom to answer this question? And the question is this: what's one thing I should be doing more of or doing that I'm not doing that will accelerate my discipleship? Something, Jesus, you're just going to put your finger on this morning, and you're saying, I want you to start doing that, or I want you to do more of that. Just a word, you don't need word, two words. You'll remember it when you get home. Holy Spirit, what is that? What is that that's going to make a difference? Second question. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do less of or stop doing that's going to accelerate my discipleship, that's going to bring me into that closer place with you, Jesus? Third question. What's the name of somebody that you want me to really be praying for that I get an opportunity to move them along the journey of faith? It's going to be three names. First name, somebody I reckon if I reach out, they're likely to be responsive. Holy Spirit, who's that? Second name, somebody if I reach out, I'm not sure. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Who's that? Third name, somebody I'm pretty sure they'll say no. But let me encourage you, don't be surprised. The Holy Spirit is often working in that person's life more than you know. There's a conversation going on. They're not going to let you know about it easily, but God can be at work. And now here's the challenge. Would you take this up? Each morning this week, taking a few moments to take that list out again and say, Holy Spirit, would you give me the courage today to do more of that, to do less of that, and to look for an opportunity to move one of these three people along the journey of faith? We're going to pray. And the first prayer I want to pray is for people, as you saw that diagram, this journey of faith, you would say, to be honest, I'm still on the journey and I haven't yet made that decision to become a follower of Jesus. And today is your day. You know, this is the greatest thing anybody can ever do, is to say, Jesus, yeah, I want to give my life to you. I want to be your follower. I want to become a disciple of Jesus. Jesus comes and does a great miracle in our hearts and lives. He makes us a child of God. This is the greatest thing anybody can ever do. Step into that identity that God created you for. And if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Would everyone just bow your heads in prayer? This is your day. Say, Jesus, I'm crossing that line. I'm saying, yes, I want to become one of your disciples. I want to be one of your followers. I want to receive you as my Lord. If that's you, as others are just praying just to give you some privacy, would you do this? I'm going to ask in a moment, that just that you raise your hand, and I'm going to be able to see that and going to pray for you. So if that's you, just raise your hand right now. That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you there, over there, brilliant. Thank you, that's brilliant, thank you. You can put your hands down, those who raise your hand. Anybody else just want to give you that moment saying, hey, this is my day. This is my day. I want to say yes to Jesus. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you for these people. today saying, this is my day to become a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. I'm crossing into that line and becoming a child of God. Today, Lord, would you do that miracle in their lives in response to their response to this call that Jesus, you would come. Forgive them of their sin. Make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Empower them now to be children of God and to live every day of their lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just congratulate those people. That was just a great, great, best thing to do. Wow. And then for every the rest of us, in a few moments, we're going to have a chance just to pray. And I'm just going to pray, God, give us the courage to be your disciples who make disciples. Are you ready? If you want to be a part of that prayer, just reach out, maybe reach out your hand and say, Lord, I'm saying yes. Oh, thank you for these wonderful people in this place this morning, the people of New Hope Church. God, this congregation that you brought together, people who love you, disciples, making disciples. I pray, God, for every one of them, Lord, that they would have the courage to step out when they need to take the opportunities that come their way, even to make opportunities. God, acts of kindness, words of hope, words of encouragement, invitation, whatever it is, oh God, that is going to help people on their journey of faith as we go making disciples. Let it be. Let you grow your church in this place, I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Fantastic. Well, it's so good to be with you, and I'm handing back to Pastor Matt.